You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Thank you for tuning in this Sunday. It's a beautiful day in Laguna. I'm really excited. We've got some amazing guests. We're just, you know, really looking to diversify our guests on the show and broaden our viewership and learn more about different entrepreneurs in the world. So I'm really excited today, but I want to say a shout out, give a shout out to La Casa del Camino and Commodore Restaurant here in Laguna Beach. Thank you for a fabulous drag brunch with Amber Crane, Matt Sarafa. We just wrapped that up and I'm on the air. And just a shout out to everyone that made it possible for Pride Month. So I want to also say a special shout out to our sponsors, Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you, Leah. La Casa del Camino also is a sponsor. And Next Level Global Solutions. Thank you, Shane, for your support. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on my first guest today. Rob, how's it going?
Just fine, thank you.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio and The Startup. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the listeners and viewers who you are?
Sure. My name is Rob Doctors. I have a checkered background of sorts. I was a professor at Yale for a couple of years. I was a professor at National University of Singapore. I was a senior partner at Ernst & Young for many years. Partner also at some other firms. I led the Boston Consulting Group pricing practice in Southeast Asia. I've written a book.
Yes. A book. Dun, 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 dun. Hold that up real high for everybody to see. Beautiful. Right.
Yes. The lady on the cover is not me. in any event, the book came about because I was having breakfast, actually, with a lady who was CEO of a multi-$100 million corporation, maybe a billion or two. And she made an offhand remark, which was, she said, yeah, you know, there's a lot of cheating going on in the world. And I feel like sometimes I've been taken, but I don't even know exactly how that happened or when it happened. It struck me that was really interesting. Here we have a super smart woman, super sophisticated, and she's not sure when she's being taken by greed. So that prompted me to think about it. So one of the first things we did was, I have a co-author. He's not here. He would be prettier than I am probably, but
Hans.
Yes, and he's been chairman of a dozen companies. He was chairman of Monster.com. He was chairman of LexisNexis. Of Houghton Mifflin, and a few other companies. But he's at home with family in Massachusetts, and therefore he's not here.
May I just jump in real quick? I just want to say on his behalf, well, I can't speak for him, but I've used both of those products and working on Christina's Court as a producer on Fox Networks, not news, but Fox Networks, Christina's Court, we often used LexisNexis because it was a courtroom show. So that was a vital tool for us producers.
Very good. No, it's useful. I mean, LexisNexis invented the idea of looking things up online. Yeah. And for certain specialties, they're still the one to go to.
Yeah.
Not for everything anymore, but at this point for certain specialties. So.
Here we are. I got my copy, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm delighted. I don't see a crease that would indicate you've actually read it, though.
Not yet. I will, full disclosure, but I have my briefing notes. So.
Oh, good. So. Anyway, what we did after that breakfast with this lady who ran the really large company was I asked, gee, what exactly are the forms of greed? And it turned out there are 5 forms of greed. It's not a random chaos of events. There's very specific strategies that greedy people use. Some of which have been used since the beginning of time, some of which are relatively new. So, for instance, bullying and theft, that's been here forever. Fine, evident. And you'll know it if you've been a victim.
Wow.
The other one is lying or, you know, misrepresenting. Again, here since the beginning of time.
Ancient Greece, in fact, right?
Exactly. A wonderful quote from Roman times. If fools did not go to market, cracked pots would not be sold, which I love as a quote.
Yeah.
But there's been some development. And by the way, one of the things that was a real revelation to me is how greed is not just an isolated set of events. It actually has coherence to it. Mm. It's almost like it's got a strategy. One of them is something called withdraw utility.
Yeah.
Booking. So, for instance, what would that be an example of? For instance, there was a leading tax software company. And if you use tax software, it isn't useful just to know what the current tax law is. You need to know what it was. You need to know what your clients did the previous year.
Huh.
Suddenly, they announced low, low prices on their tax software. And people bought it. And suddenly they realized they didn't have what was called the archival ability. So in other words, they didn't have last year's tax law. And they didn't have what they've done. So the clients then had to buy that to complete the package. And whereas the initial software was sold at a low price, this was now sold at a high price.
Right. So
classic example of hooking.
Is that bait and switch, a.k.a. bait and switch?
Well, there's no switching, really. It's
well, they baited you at saying that they can capture your data, and they switched it on you and said no, right?
Well, they never promised you the archives. But yes, you could say it's bait and then, you know, grab for more.
Wow. That's insane. That's insane.
Yes. And a lot of people don't realize that that happens, but it does all the time. Mm-hmm. Then you have something we call embed.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you sell you something and it actually then helps. This is a little bit, again, sort of bait and switch. That, you know, you then have something that gets withdrawn. So, for instance, Apple got sued for tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, because what they would do is they would take your old iPhone and slow it down. And I had one of those old iPhones, and something was odd.
I'm an Android, but I had to give in to the iPhone for the picture and the video quality. But I'm an Androidian for life.
But, you know, they decided you needed to upgrade earlier than you thought you might have.
Yeah.
So they slowed down your phone when you had to go buy another expensive phone.
Yes. Comedian Leslie Jones makes a joke about this. She says, why does Apple just quit the relationship after a year? Like, you just walk out of the relationship? Is that, it's over?
You're right. Well, you know, they don't sell the service. They sell the phone. So that's what they want from you.
Yeah.
And then there's other ways of hooking people. Like, for instance, I was interested to hear from one of the top two headhunting or recruiting firms that they never hire anyone over 55. Why is that? Quite apart from the fact it's illegal, but forget that for the moment. Why is that? And the answer is very simple. If I hire you, Monique, as a CEO, I'm pretty sure, because we're going to bring you into this company, that the next thing you're going to do is turn around and say, hey, can you get me a chief financial officer? Can you get me a chief marketing officer? So planting that initial CEO means there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be hired after you. And if you're old, if you're over 55, the time frame under which they're going to hire you again to fill in those other positions is short. Mm. They don't want you, old people, even if they're better.
And let's just pause for a second and define old, because I think 55 is experienced and an expert at that point. So let's just leave that open for interpretation.
Yes, indeed. But right. The only point is, That's not what they were chartered to do as headhunters. The hiring committee just said, get the best person, mm-hmm. not get the person who's most profitable for the headhunter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example of where greed happens, but nobody notices it. Because, you know, all you know is, hey, you know, they hired me, I'm 55. And the fact that they passed over somebody who was better who was 65, you don't know it.
Right.
Finally, there's something called seizing the language. And what I mean by that is, for instance, a good example is suntan lotion. What happened was that the suntan lotion companies all patented their ingredients. And then a few years later, with some lobbying, the FDA said, oh, those, turns out, five ingredients are the only things we will allow anyone to call suntan lotion. Never mind the fact that in Europe, there's 22 ingredients that are considered useful.
Yeah.
So here they, what the suntan lotion companies have done is they put a lock on the customer. And if you walk into a store, notice how there's a rack that has different suntanning products. And the ones that say suntan lotion will be more expensive than the ones that don't.
Wow.
Because they've got a monopoly on the name, not on the product, but on the name.
Wow.
So what that tells you is greed is not stupid. Greed is clever. They have developed five strategies. They're probably over time, if we had this interview in 10 years, probably there'll be six. But in any event, the point is, it's not just one thing that happens.
Right. And it's, and you know what? Greed is also, it evolves, and it seems like it's on purpose, intentional. But I really want to ask you this. Why are some groups repeatedly victimized by greed and unethical behavior in your experience, Rob, in your research?
Well, greed is like any predator. It victimizes the weak. Mm. So greed is looking for groups that can't fight back, looking for easy victims. And just like the lion, when it's hunting a group of zebra, doesn't pick the healthiest zebra in the herd. It brings down the oldest or the weakest. So the answer is, greed has picked, for instance, inordinately, women. Because the truth is, women are often not as powerful in terms of defending themselves as men.
Hmm.
It has often also just pack hunting.
Yeah.
So it's like Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Yes, we know very well who he is.
But he didn't do it alone. He had a network of people.
Of course. Of course. So, can't do all that alone.
Yeah, exactly. So again, just like predators in the wild, greed operates as a pack.
Mm. And so speaking of which, to my next point, my next question, and we're going to close it out here, but how can we protect ourselves from greed? And the first step is obviously to get Rob Doctor's new book, Ethics and Hidden Greed. Where can people pick this up, Rob?
Anywhere. You can walk into your local bookstore, order it. Probably may not have it on the shelf, but they can easily order it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it. So it's available.
That's step one. Grab yourself a copy. I've got to crack this open. I'll be transparent. I'm working on my MBA, so I've got a lot of good books to get into, and this is on my top deck here. And where else can we reach you, Rob? Where can people connect with you on social media and reach out to you if they want to talk?
Well, we've got a website. It's called, surprise, Ethics and Hidden Greed. So you can go there. You can email me. My email's in the book, but just to say it, it's rdoctors, D-O-Z-T-E-R-S, at abbeyllp.com. And I welcome, by the way, any emails or any questions that anybody has.
I'm excited. Congratulations. You know, it's really a big deal to publish a book. And add all this value that you have from learned experience, you know, learned versus espoused, just everything that you're learning and putting into the world, putting back for people and entrepreneurs. And I appreciate you. And last note here, how can people further protect themselves after picking up your book? What else can they do?
Well, you've already hinted at it. They need to educate themselves what is possible. And they need to just be sensitive to who's likely to be greedy. Mm. Greedy people do so out of a sense of entitlement. Mm. There's a fun study that's in the book. They had an experiment where they brought in a group of wealthy people into some focus groups and some average people. Mm-hmm. And in the waiting room, there was a big jar of candy. And they told both groups, by the way, this candy is for some kids tomorrow, so only take one.
Mm.
Guess what? The wealthy people took multiple candies each. The average Joes all just took one. Yeah. And the point is, the wealthy had an expectation that they could get more. So be careful of the expectation of the person you're negotiating with, because they will do something greedy.
Yes, I love that. And you know what? I like that you kind of touch on the elderly. We're seeing a lot of elderly people being taken advantage of online and in elderly care. And we want to make sure we can look out for them as well, because we're all going to be elderly one day if we're lucky enough to live that long. So thank you for your book. Thank you for this. And Rob, come back. We'd love to have you again.
I'd be delighted. Thank you. Nice meeting you, Monique.
A pleasure to meet you, Rob. All right, guys, that's Rob Doctors. And pick up his new book, Ethics and Hidden Greed. Thank you so much. Guys, we're going to transition right now. We have our next guest, Adam. Adam, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Monique?
Good, good. Thank you. I went a little longer with the first guest because our third guest lost their voice, so I can go a little longer with you and so on and so forth. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the viewers and the listeners?
Yeah, so my name's Adam Battersby, and I am the president of Pro Better Sports. And Pro Better Sports, what we do is we make video pitching machines for baseball, softball, and cricket for training and to help, you know, players get to the next level.
I love it. And you know what? It's the perfect time right now. The sun is finally out here in Laguna Beach. You know, we had that May gray and that June gloom, and mm-hmm. people are outside. I saw the Dodgers playing the other day.
Yeah.
Tell us, you know, how you got into this line of work and what are you projecting? What are you seeing people get into these days?
Yeah, so we started the company in 1999. My dad actually first started it. And then upon graduation from college in 2001, I started working there. So it's been a really fun ride. me and my dad been really running it for the past, you know, almost 25 years now.
Nice. Father and son family business. So did you play baseball in the past? Like, where did this, you know, this particular niche of passion come from?
Yeah, so I did play in the past. I only got as far as high school.
Okay.
And what really started it was when I was growing up, I had a batting cage in my backyard with just a generic two-wheel pitching machine. So with those, you know what's coming, and it's kind of hard to time the ball because sometimes the ball doesn't go smoothly into the wheels. Mm. And every time you switch pitches, like from a fastball to a curveball, you got to adjust the dials and then tilt the machine and test the pitches, and you know what's coming. So you can't really learn how to hit the different pitches. So what we did, we took it a step further and developed a three-wheel pitching machine. So it has more realistic breaks and curves. And it comes with a big color touchscreen, allowing you to pick any pitch you want, any one of 10 different pitches, any speed from 40 to 100 miles an hour, and to any location. So the batter doesn't really know what's coming all the time. So he has to learn how to hit the pitch and really learn how to, you know, to hit the breaking pitches, which is they're hard to hit sometimes.
That's really actually innovative and smart. If someone is looking to kind of turn the standard on its neck, like it sounds like you've done in this industry, what can they expect to bump against? You know, it sounds like you're innovative, and I know that you probably didn't get it, pun intended, hit it out of the park the first time. Yeah. What can people expect when they're looking to kind of be innovative in this way?
Well, you really have to think outside the box. You know, a lot of people do a lot of different things. So you have to come up with an idea that people haven't done, or if they have done it, they haven't done it, you know, fully, or there's ways to improve on it. And also you got to be, you know, you got to be cautious that people are going to come in and try to knock you off as well. So you have to make sure you have a lot of patent protection and just make sure it's covered. And always you got to look to the next step as well, because if someone tries to copy you, you have to think of new ideas to improve it, to make it better and better.
Right. Trademarking, copywriting, staying up exactly for the next thing. So right now, if you are a if you're someone that is playing in the league or looking to get, you know, your game up, give me your dream client. Who's going to buy your product today and then in the next 5 to 10 years? Who are you looking to market to?
Yeah, so we sell to anywhere from little leaguers to the major leaguers, really. We sold about 25 machines to professional baseball, both the major league, minor league level. We've sold a lot of machines to players for their homes or local batting cages. But really, the commercial training center or batting cage is our biggest market, where people can charge for the time, you know, against our machines.
I love it. I love that. I'm getting like a, well, they didn't pay me to give them a shout out, but I'm getting a flash from like Top Golf in my head.
Yeah,
Top Golf vibes, you know, but in baseball cages, right?
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of entertainment facilities will buy our machine too, just to have a fun night, try to hit the ball and just, you know, have some fun against it.
And we also love this.
Yeah, we also do a lot of home installations as well, and private installations. So people with, you know, larger houses will put it in their basement for their kids to use, or if they have friends over, they could always, you know, hit it and have some fun. And yeah, so it's a cool machine.
So let's say someone is going to book that for a private installation or renting. Give us the price range of what people could expect if they want to do that.
Yeah. So our machines range from about $7,500 to about $27,000.
Yeah.
You know, there's one machine that's about $49,000 if you want a combo with, you know, all the different bells and whistles, but the main one's about $27,000-$28,000, around that range.
I love it. I see so many, I'm getting all these ideas, but I'm sure you've got your bases covered. Oh my God, I'm so cheesy. Are there any big names that you can drop with us that, you know, cause we're in, you know, we're in California, we're in Southern California. We love to hear about any celebrities or anybody that's used any of your products or anyone on your wish list.
Well, there is a big team in Los Angeles. The Dodgers did buy one years ago. So we think it's helped them a lot. But also, you know, if you're from the Northeast, like we are in Connecticut, Yankees, Red Sox, and Mets, they all bought one over the years. So it's been pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. That's got to feel good, though. With your family brand, you know, coming down, you know, passing it down with you. And I mean, that's got to feel great that the major leaguers are using your brand.
Yeah, it helps definitely build a product. So when you're trying to sell a more expensive machine, the first question is, you know, who's using it and why should we be paying all this money for the machine?
Right.
And then once you tell them, you know, who uses it, the client list, they understand that, you know, it is a very good trading tool. And we have major league teams that come back for more and more machines. So their players do believe in the machine and the concept, and they do see it can be a good training tool for them.
I have someone in mind who is he's in high school and he's in Las Vegas and he's really great, but I feel like maybe some of these, you know, the young ones coming up could really benefit from it. Are there sponsorship opportunities or partnership opportunities with some of the younger leagues, high schoolers? Do you foresee yourself going in that sector anytime soon?
Yeah. So years ago, our machine was about $45,000. So it's hard to sell to high schools. Mm-hmm. But now the machine's $27,000. And over the past 2 years, we've sold to a bunch of high school teams. So that's a growing market and a very exciting market as well.
Yeah.
But sponsorships, I mean, there's a lot of travel teams out there that you can partner up with and, mm-hmm. you know, put your name on the jerseys and have, you know, sponsorships that way.
Yeah.
Which is good, because if they get to the next level, then they know your machine. And then hopefully they'll tell the coach that we need this machine for our team.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could see some ambitions, you know, baseball parents getting together and throwing in the pot and getting one of these machines for their kids, for the team. And
yeah,
there's a lot of ways, there's many ways to do it. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Do that. Yeah. And especially softball, a lot of, you know, girl fathers, You know, I have two daughters myself.
Yeah.
And it's basically whatever they want, they get. So, you know, it's, you know, within reason, of course. But,
yeah,
you know, it, that softball is a huge market as well.
So why don't you plug again where people can find you, follow you on social, and if they want to look on your platform and possibly place an order, where and how long would it take to get the order placed? So give us all that info if you could.
Yeah. So again, the company is Pro Better Sports, and it's a video pitching machine. So, you know, with our machines, you see a big video screen of a pitcher winding up before the ball comes out. So it's really realistic. If you go to probetter.com, you can see our website and some videos of our machine. Or you just call office directly, but lead times, like you said, they range from 2 weeks to about 2 months now. So
yeah,
they're not too bad. Usually we can juggle some orders, you know, if we had to get you quicker.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here, Adam. I'm excited. Thanks for making the league and everybody better. I mean, you know, you're keeping the sport interesting. And I know we have the ESPYs coming up here soon in about a week or two. Couple weeks, so I'm sure you've got some players that have used your equipment there. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Well, love to have you back, and thank you again. Keep your eyes out. There's some talent out here on the West Coast.
I'm sure it's California is huge for baseball.
Yeah,
there's some great players out that way.
All right, you guys, that's Adam Battersby and Pro Better. Plug it again.
Yeah, Pro Better Sports, and it's probetter.com.
Probetter.com. That's a great website, by the way. Congratulations on everything.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. See you soon.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. All right, guys. If you're into baseball, if you want to get your game up, if you're into softball, check out probetter.com. Adam Battersby. Sounds like they got some great equipment. And Sam, you're going to text me and let me know if the next guest is on their way in through the doors. While Sam is doing that, I want to make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Startup with Monique LeRae. It's right here on Instagram. At, you know what? Follow LA Talk Radio as well, at LA Talk Radio. I think we're up, like Sam said last week, over 12,500 on Facebook, which is awesome. So we want to get those numbers up across the board. On all socials. And let's give a shout out to Carolyn Haler from Mightylicious. She sent me these cookies, you guys. Oh my God. Amazing. She lost her voice today, so she'll be on, but we're going to try it live. I'm going to cheat a little because I've been wanting to try these cookies. I've never had a sweet tooth before, but as I change my diet a little bit, I'm liking sweets a little bit more. Let's just cut right to it. All right. This is the Grandma Allen's oatmeal cookies. Oatmeal coconut. Oh, my God. It sounds good. Sam, I should send you some of these. Do you like cookies, Sam? Shout out to Sam working on the weekend with me. Yes. Sam, I might have to send you these brown butter. Oh, my God, Sam. Let's see. Oh, man. Those are pretty Mightylicious. I'm eating the crumbs, you guys. They're so good. And you know what? These cookies are gluten-free. I know a lot of people are going gluten-free, and they're vegan. What? Hold on. This is amazing. Allergen free. Oh my gosh. Gluten free and vegan. They're tasty. Carolyn, get your voice back, girl. We can't wait to see you. And Sam, do you like chocolate chip? These brown butter chocolate chip might be coming your way. I can't eat all these by myself, Sam. All right. Very tasty. And there's more. And they're individually wrapped, which is nice. You don't have to commit to the whole bag at one time. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was tasty. Guys, I want to also give a shout out. Let's see, because we've got a lot of stuff coming up. But let me catch you guys up here. So the ESPYs event, we got pushed. We're going to do that. We're going to do that for the Emmys week in the fall. shout out to the Harris brothers, you know, with this writer strike and everything going on, we're kind of maneuvering, even though it's sports centric event. You know, one thing affects the other in LA and Hollywood. So hang tight with us. If you had a booth and a swag bag placement, we're going to put you at the Emmys. Hopefully the strike, the Writers Guild strike, will be over by then. Get these people back to work, hardworking writers. I'm sure you miss your late night shows and your talk shows. I know I do. So the writers make that happen. Even though I'm an unscripted reality TV documentary producer, I respect the heck out of writers, and we need them. So that content, you know, is important. So shout out to everyone doing that. I hope you guys find a resolution soon and everyone can get back to work. But it's summertime, so we're going to, you know, hunker down and work on some other things. So, yeah, if you are a brand, a startup, a medium-sized, if you're, you know, scaling up and you command celebrity attention or high influencer attention, we'd love to have you at the Gifting Suite this fall in celebration of the Emmys. We're not with the actual Academy. This is an independent company that does brand placement, and they have connections with talent agents and PR agents that send their talent to the event. So if you're up and around LA, this one will be in Beverly Hills. It's a lead up event. So it's great. So that's what we're looking to do in the fall. So hang tight with us and we'll get to that. Yeah, so the ESPYs is on hold. What else? Okay, we also have F Cancer, which is going to be in the fall. Shout out to Lainey. We'll give you an update on that. Oh, great. Jack is here. Let's bring Jack in. Hello, Jack.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, Monique. Good afternoon on Sunday.
I know, right? I've got people working on a Sunday. Listen, Jack, why don't you introduce yourself and tell our viewers and listeners who you are?
Absolutely. My name is Jack Flaherty, and I am the author and founder of The Decision Switch. It's a book that I wrote based on the 7 principles for successful decision-making, and they're all proven concepts that I cultivated over the course of my career, and actually I've used with my teams, my clients, for years. But seeing a broader need, I decided to put it on paper and to share it with the world.
I love that. Anytime we can add value, you know, as entrepreneurs and business people, you're just paying it forward. And I think it's beautiful what you're doing. And I want you guys to know, Jack's book isn't out yet. It's coming out July 11th. So you're getting a sneak peek, if you will, with him speaking with us on this Sunday. So Jack, give us a little bit more about your business background and how we got to here.
Sure, absolutely. I've got about 20 plus years experience working in consulting, specifically in risk management and technology. Ooh. 15 of those were with the Big Four, with both Deloitte and PwC. And then working with a number of startups in the bleeding edge technology space, as well as some billion-dollar tech companies as well. And throughout the course of that, you know, what I found is that the root cause for so many projects and companies that do fail is just a poor decision. And it's something that's a risk to us as individuals, entrepreneurs, and just business people in general, that a single decision can make or break your success or create failure. And so that's why it's so critical. That we think thoughtfully through this and we adopt a process.
Right. So the decision switch, are you deciding, without giving away all the tea on the book, because of course we want you to pre-sell and get your pre-sale orders if they can, or just buy that on July 11th. But
sure.
Are we looking to take the concept of decision-making skills and flip it on its head, meaning like slowing down that process, taking a beat, examining how you get to that decision, or adding some more assets for the entrepreneur to draw from when making a decision, or something else?
Great question.
Thank you.
No worries. Actually, I took a step back and in my research and thinking through even coming up with the concept of writing a book, one of the things I discovered is that, you know, even through my own trials and tribulations, we're never really taught how to make a decision. I mean, whether in your childhood, you're reprimanded for making poor decisions, all the way through schooling, it's not really until you get into the business world, where you have a mentor or you actually have, you know, experience on the job, where you learn a lot of these, you know, concepts that I, you know, outline in the book. as well as I quite frankly tell my own stories, showing where I've succeeded, but as well as, you know, stories about other organizations as well. And so they're just foundational concepts about, you know, do you really know, you know, what decisions, you know, you have at hand and what role do you play in how to collaborate? And one of the biggest things that I really try to push throughout the book is the whole notion of empathy, because I think, you know, so many of the books that I've read and researched really focus on kind of the clinical psychology of this, about what's happening, you know, inside ourselves. But I think we need to think broader. You know, what's the impact of our decisions, and, you know, how do we, you know, make that as positive as possible? Because sometimes we really have to make tough decisions. And so I think if we have a thoughtful process, that's the whole, you know, notion of the framework I've created, is having a process with which we take critical decisions or even simple decisions and make them and do so we can have consistently, you know, successful results.
You know, I love it. And I think what I'm hearing you say is that you take a beat, even in that chaos sometimes that is entrepreneur and startup ship, you know, you take a beat and a breath. And you go, what's the cause and effect of me in this moment? If I get caught up in my emotion, or if I get caught up in wanting to just get something done and check that off that list on Monday.com, shout out, or whatever you're doing, what's the cause and effect of me checking this off right now? Maybe I need to take a beat.
Sure. The biggest thing is that I think, as we all have been reading in, whether it be newspapers or seeing on TV, is the rising, you know, levels of anxiety and self-doubt. And you can see that was, you know, prescription, you know, medicines, or they're just talking about the impact of, you know, us working in a remote workforce, those types of things. Yeah. And so because of that anxiety, that self-doubt, it just captures so much of our brain space that it limits our ability to actually think about, you know, so much, you know, of our daily jobs, and actually acts as a distractor. And so the whole notion of the framework is to create a very thoughtful approach in how you, you know, make decisions, which will then give you that brain space back, but more importantly, will give you confidence, you know, the confidence that I've made the right decisions with the information, you know, available to me. And that way I can continue forward. And I don't look back and think about the consequences or, you know, anxiety of, did I make the right decision?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You can kind of switch it down, put the gears in a lower, just shut the gears down a little bit. And, you know, I'm loving that you're exploring this space, because I always go back to the pros and cons list, which, you know, your parents give you when you're really young, and you just take a piece of paper and you put a line down the middle and you go pros and cons, and you just pros and con it out. That's really the basic decision platform that I would have, you know, as a teenager and forward, unless you seek something like this. Who have you found that's seen your manuscript or has been in a consult with you that, you know, your methods really worked and you saw a really gratifying effect on them?
I've been blessed. Like I said, I spent 20 plus years in consulting, and you know, there's two facets of that. One is I have teams that work for me, and often I get college graduates who are, you know, as we call them, green. And they don't have those executive functioning skills. And I'll just emphatically put, I truly believe that decision-making is the most important of the executive skills that, you know, we need to learn. But then also we look at, you know, the experienced executives, and they often have, you know, inherent biases based on their experience and whether or not, you know, they're scared to reach out to ask for feedback about a decision, or they make a knee-jerk reaction and don't thoughtfully, you know, address and think through, you know, what is they're looking to accomplish, and really set a succinct objective that's clear, and then, you know, develop a path in how to achieve that. And so I've worked literally for years, you know, with these concepts, you know, working with young adults, but all the way through with executives that are looking to implement $1 million implementations.
Wow.
And, you know, they're having to navigate, you know, the corporate corridors, and trying to make sure that, you know, their goals, they get others to align with them so they can achieve the results that they're looking to desire.
I love that. And you know what? I'm going to make an off-color comment here, but roll with me. I really wish you were there for the guys, the five people in the submarine. Where were you at, Jack? We needed a decision switch on that. God rest them.
Well, signing a document away that's that limits all liability despite the corporation, even if they made some bad decisions. Seems to be a kind of a foolish decision. Going further beyond that, it's even the notion of the organization that was that operated, that discovery. And how they were thinking through that, because I found a lot of times, whether it be technology or manufacturing organizations, they're in such a rush to get to market. They overlook risks. They overlook so many critical things because of this public perception of meeting dates and throwing safety out the window.
Being the first one to do it. And I love the explorational spirit. I love the maverick, but at what cost? And I hate that beautiful mind, those beautiful minds aren't around anymore, because we could have used them in the world for further things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I love this conversation. Why don't you plug where people can order your book on July 11th, Jack, and pick up the Decision Switch?
Absolutely. Website is real simple. It's thedecisionswitch.com. And within that, you can either book, discovery appointments directly with me, or I leave you my contact information so you can contact me directly.
I love it. This would be a great gift. Great stocking stuffer. Guys, Christmas, they always talk about Christmas in July or whatever you celebrate. Grab that,
I'll go one step further on that one. Is I look at all of, our future leaders. And I think this is something to give, to that next generation of leaders, because the contrary of being too aggressive, like you talk about the submarine, is I believe our next generation is actually right now being taught basically not to fail. And so they're making actually safe decisions and not those that will actually get the organization or get themselves to where they want to go, but just to avoid, those negative implications of having made the wrong decision.
Right. That extra pressure. You're right. Coming out of a pandemic, I think a lot of people have made some decision switches in their personal lives, in their business lives, and having a more macro view about what am I doing? Because it could all end now. So, I feel you on that. And you kind of led me into my next question, in my final question for you today, which would be, who's your dream future client? Maybe there's a genre or a type of client that you haven't helped.
I mean, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I live here on Silicon Beach. So I work with a lot of technology organizations. And so often I found that, particularly in that domain, those individuals don't really have the education or background of those executive functioning skills. Mm-hmm. You'll get somebody who's a beautiful coder. They've made an amazing game or whatever. And all of a sudden they're managing a team of people, have a budget, need to present to their executive team. And, as a result, they have anxiety and fear. And I think those are just such great opportunities to really get in and help brilliant individuals make better decisions and really transfer their knowledge and vision to other individuals and become a better leader. And so that's the whole background of this is, it's not really limited to tech. It's really to every industry, because I've applied it to so many different industries that I just think it's a necessity.
It is.
To get this out.
Give me your top three dream. I'm pushing you a little. Your top three areas of business that you haven't done that you would want to get into.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I put them on the spot, everybody.
I've been blessed and I've worked with many, many different industries. Yeah. But I think those that are really pushing the boundaries, the bleeding edge, are ones that I personally have experienced with and had some heartbreaking losses and some unbelievable gains. But then I think on the other side of the pendulum are those slow growth, whether it be those healthcare organizations that are trying to evolve and really support today's customer in utilizing the technologies and such that provide either better patient service or client service. So I think it spans both ends of the spectrum. And I think both are exciting, because when you see that light bulb pop above their, above their head.
I love that. Same. I love that. And that's why just connecting those dots for people. I love that. Plug your book one more time. Where they can Can we pre-order it, by the way, or what can we do?
You can absolutely pre-order it. It is on Amazon already. We'll be having soft cover, hardcover. Sorry about that. e-books as well as an audiobook. But it's thedecisionswitch.com, available on Amazon, and then we'll be going out broader from there.
I love it, Jack. And you said you're in Silicon Beach, right?
Correct.
We'll have to do a coffee there. You know, I don't know if you know, but I have Silicon Beach Coffee Company.
Ooh, I love it.
So I need to have a coffee with you. Have you done coffee yet?
I haven't done your coffee. So absolutely, that's going to be on my priority list.
Yes. All right. We'll talk offline because that was a brainchild that I started and, had to pause it with everything. But thank you for being on. Let's chat again. You're awesome. I'm excited for your book.
Oh, I am beyond excited for this because, there's so many. I mean, we can have an hour-long conversation because there's so much I'm passionate about. But, yes, I agree with you. I think we're on the precipice of a need for this. And, we're transitioning with technology and workforce. Mm-hmm. And the need for executive skills, specifically decision-making, are just paramount for everyone's success.
Reach out to OceanGate. I'm sure they could use you. You couldn't get it on the front end. Maybe you could get it on the back end, I guess.
Sure. We'll certainly reach out and see if we have a conversation.
I know, right? Listen, shout out to OceanGate. Sorry about that. We're just brainstorming here. Jack, thank you so much. And I hope to get my copy on July 11th or 12th
Absolutely.
Or 13th. Okay.
Sure.
All right, my dear. Well, thank you for sharing your Sunday with us, and congratulations.
Have an amazing Sunday. Thank you very much.
The decision. You're welcome. Yes, you too. All right, you guys. That was Jack Flattery and The Decision Switch. Coming out July 11th. I think you can pre-order on Amazon, like you said. Thank you again for being here. Guys, that's it for today. I think we have a full show next week, July 2nd, even though that's right before 4th of July. If you're not following me on Instagram, give me a shout out at The Startup with Monique LeRae or at LA Talk Radio, or you can just be on my personal Instagram, was at Monique LeRae Stinson. That's at MoniqueLoreStinson. Thank you, everyone that came out for 4th of July is a drag, pun intended. Shout out to the Amber Crane and Matt Sarafa. Commodore Restaurant, La Costa del Camino in Laguna Beach. Everybody, thank you for supporting the event. And Sam, I'm sending you cookies. Shout out to Mighty Licious. Get your voice back, girlfriend, so we can have you on. And I'm excited to catch you guys up with the film, but we'll have a big announcement soon. We're going to do something with the Pandemic Project. Hey, follow us on there at the Pandemic Project Documentary. At the Pandemic Film and at the Endemic Project. We have one more trip in August to South Africa for the Endemic Project, and then we're completely done. It took a little time to finish these things, but I'm pretty proud of what we've achieved. Also, we've got some exciting projects coming up, some other things that I can't talk about today, but they're coming down the pike, and I think you guys are going to really like it. So just hang tight. But if you're following me on at Monique LeRae Stinson or at The Startup with Monique LeRae or even at Cap Aquarius Media, and that's CAP Aquarius Media, I have updates. So that's really exciting. I'm excited for all these entrepreneurs. Thank you so much today. Rob, doctors. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jack. I love it. We covered a lot of things. We covered baseball. We covered a new book about decision-making and what you're using to do that. And then we covered with Rob Doctors a lot of great things in his new book, Ethics and Greed. I learned a lot today in this hour. I hope you guys did too. If you haven't already, at Michael Solberg Family Wine, tell Leah I sent you. That's www.michaelsolbergfamilywines. And it pairs well with the glass. They've got four varietals, Chardonnay, Cab Sauv, Merlot, and Rosé. So get your bottles of wine for summer. And at La Casa del Camino if you're wanting to come to the beach in Laguna Beach and have a staycation. Tell Felton I said hi and that we sent you there. Of course, Shane at Global, it's Global Solutions. What is it? It's Next Level Global Solutions. And he's got some amazing ways to build wealth and inclusivity. So shout him out on Instagram at Next Level Global Solutions. What will you start up today? See you next week.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.